Hello, everyone. This is the Common Ground Podcast. We're here with Thomas.
Sean.
And I'm here as well. What I want to talk to you guys about today, though, is fucking crazy because we missed out on it last week.
What did we miss out on?
We missed out. We didn't talk about it. It was Bangladesh. We didn't talk about how crazy Bangladesh was.
Yeah.
I have no knowledge on what's on
Bangladesh. I expected so.
Fill me in on the Bangladesh.
As a quick summary, and even then, I don't have the full details themselves.
Is that a racist? Not a racist term. Is that a derogatory term if I said the Bangladesh instead of Bangladesh?
I would avoid it, maybe.
Maybe, because if I said, like, Japanese.
Someone's
going to
get upset about it.
But the Bangladesh...
just say the Bangladesh people.
Yeah.
Bangladesh is just...
Bangladeshis?
But the Bangladeshites? The bangers.
Regardless. Anyways, so the big controversy that was happening was that there was a car accident that killed, I believe, two students, people.
I think.
Yeah, so it ran into 9 people, but killed 2 students. And this is not an uncommon thing, especially in Bangladesh. Their car crash and accidents are just through the roof. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is due to having very poor... I guess standards for who can be a driver.
Yeah.
Enforcement, but not even like standards. Like
they don't have a DMV there, huh?
You don't need a license. A lot of drivers don't have licenses. A lot of drivers are actually like underage and they're video of it.
It's basically just like free roaming.
Free roaming.
Yeah.
There's a lot of videos of also public like buses are like cutting into the oncoming traffic to just get around to get to people faster. So this is the climate in the background.
Wait, so when someone got hit, was that an accident?
That was an accident.
Yeah, but...
Who was driving?
I don't know. It was like a bus. It was a bus.
Was it a regular dude? Like some like 40-year-old, 30-year-old guy?
I don't know.
No details.
Regardless is that he was, at the end of the day, he wasn't charged. Or, sorry. At this point in time of our story, he hasn't been charged for anything yet.
Yeah.
All right. So, this was not uncommon, and a lot of students in Bangladesh started protesting. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, started off with pretty, like... Peaceful protesting. We want to reform. They had a certain set list of things that they wanted, which included, and I don't feel like they're too extreme, except for one of them, but they're saying, like, driver license. We need testing. We need standards. We need enforcements. Things, like, along those lines. One that this is what I feel like is too extreme is that, like, death penalty for people who causes car accidents.
Oh, dear, yeah.
But
yeah.
We could talk about that in a bit. So this is what they're asking for. In the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the head of the Department of Transportation, I guess? Whoever is in charge of regulating and enforcing licensing and driving, he essentially told them, you know, there was a car accident over in this city where 30 people died and no one's asking this stuff. Why are you doing it? And he's like kind of essentially belittling this group.
You're right.
You know, and this gets traction. More people start noticing it. More schools start noticing it. This is very pushed forward and driven by students, and more protests starts happening.
Yeah. And they're like going out in the streets, and they're enforcing. Like
at this point, things like this started happening. So they're creating checkpoints, and there's a variety, right? This is multiple schools, thousands of people. There's no really one organization pushing for it, but you'll get like protests and checkpoints. Where they'll say, you know, show us your license if you're driving, and we'll let you through. Ambulances and polices go through ahead no matter what. You're fine.
Yeah.
But then the other extreme is you have groups are just vandalizing cars and vehicles, public transportations, mm-hmm. just going ahead and destroying them. So you got the full spectrum there.
Right.
I believe on Saturday of last week, which is, what, the August 6th or something?
Third?
Yeah. So the... government club, like pro-government club at these schools, started coming out in, you know, like motorcycle helmets and armor with clubs, beating the protesters.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And there was like 4 girls got raped.
There was rape as well. There was, did anyone die?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I wouldn't
but
be surprised.
I haven't heard, yeah.
But just beating protesters, anyone that's there. And here's the thing is that anybody with a camera. They were either beating them or taking their cameras and smashing them.
These were government officials?
No. These are pro-government students.
Yeah.
So it's like the government wing of these like schools,
mm-hmm.
kind of, is like the way that they've been describing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're just going out there and beating the crap out of
people. And the government's
people.
Not doing anything?
Government's not enforcing against them.
They want that.
They're definitely turning a blind eye to it. So I would say they definitely don't oppose it, which is insane. But then, so they start getting into the fray. the student protesters for better standards started fighting back. All these things started happening, and I believe since then, earlier this week, that director of vehicle transportation, yeah. He started actually issuing some statements, and some reforms started going through. So I believe that now, like, licenses are mandatory. There's going to be a certain standard involved. I think where they're at now is talking about that death penalty for people who do car accidents like these, like mass car accidents and killing. So, like, the possibility of a death penalty is
right,
there.
Right.
The person going back to who ran over those 9 people and killed 2, now that person's being charged. Beforehand, he was essentially scot-free, but now he's being charged.
Okay.
So that's where we are at now, but it's still going on. Huge point of the thing. Over the last weekend, the government shuts down the internet.
Oh, yeah. They reduced the speed down to 1 kilobyte a second.
Bangladesh?
Yeah. The government just essentially
shut
down.
If it's 1 kilobyte a second, it's done.
Yeah.
It's a drift. There's no internet.
They were doing their best to keep this insular, like, then for it to not to get out on the internet.
Their reasoning was that they were trying to stop the planning of these groups who are either creating violent protests or fighting against the protesters.
Right.
They wanted to, that was their reasoning. But
fair enough.
Yeah, which is it makes sense. But at the very same time, I guess I'm pretty certain that it's also very much that let's try to stop this news from getting out. We don't want the world to see what's happening in France.
Don't turn off the internet. It's like a utility. It's basically needed at this point.
Anyways.
So, caught you up to speed. That's where we're at right now. I believe it's still going on because they still have some things that they're pushing for. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that director of transportation ever issued an apology. Mm-hmm. Or they haven't decided on that death penalty as being a option. So, that they're still in very much disarray right now, and I think protests are still very much going on.
Yeah.
All across Bangladesh.
Yeah.
So,
I'm saying, like, on Reddit, if you look up, like, top trending in the past week, there's just tons of pictures of these protests, people getting, you know, beaten over the head with clubs, and, you know, people ripping cameras off the necks of reporters.
Mm-hmm.
There's, one picture that really made me kind of sad was this, you see there's a line of girls, and then there's 2 rows of guys that are on either side of these girls, and they're all protecting these girls so that they're not getting raped in the street.
Or attacked.
Yeah, I mean, the thing said rape.
Whoa.
But yeah. So it was like...
It's insane.
It's ballistic to see how bad mobbing can get. And, you know, there's some valid points to be said about, when you start going out and enforcing your own laws, I can understand the government trying to, like, get a hold of that, but I'm still on the side of the people who are trying to get reform. And obviously any side who's going around beating and, you know, attacking people is going to be the bad side. I don't think there's really much argument
that can be said about that. They started as the rebellers started, or the reformers, they started off as peaceful protests. Did they go...
So it's definitely started off as peaceful protests, but as it went on, things started escalating where it became not only just checkpoints, but straight, essentially, vandalism of public transportation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Whether it's police, buses, ambulance, it didn't matter.
I feel like anytime a protest starts happening, you're going to see someone's going to take it too far, right? Unfortunately. That tends to be the case. But yeah, it really everything started extremely escalating once the pro government students started coming out, and they were the ones that are armored, and with blood in their eyes.
Man, I hope they get what they want though. They just want better streets.
Yeah.
They just want it to be safer, right? I mean, that's the end goal, right? They want more regulations so that it'll be safer. I'm for that.
I'm for that too, and
yeah.
I think it does make sense, and I think a lot of it is spurred by the response of the director of transportation. It very much seems that he belittles them and their cause, and he's responsible for this side, and he's like, essentially failing his duties, but he's still there. So he's still there, and it's caught a lot enough attention where I guess he is trying to push through more reforms. I guess he is now forced to do something,
right?
Which is kind of sad. Beforehand, he just didn't care. Yeah. And so you definitely know that it's not because he wants to. It's very much because he has to now.
Yeah.
And I guess that kind of goes into what do you guys feel about the, let's say, the reformers and their methods.
So, yeah, I mean, I always say the best method is going through the election cycles, you know, so get that guy out of office. But I figure it's not that easy in other countries. So, you know, that's why you have to, like, when you always put it in perspective, you have to realize how amazing, like, America is in a way with the system that we have. But anyways, as far as, so, you know, protests, I'm generally not a fan of. If they're peaceful, I think it's fine. I do think that it did get out of control with what you were saying, like with the, you know, vandalism. Like, what are you helping at that point? Who are you, what are you trying to accomplish by vandalizing cars?
But do you believe that that action, when that escalation happened, it started catching more attention from the government?
I think doing something bad to get attention isn't justification for doing the bad thing. Does that make sense? I think you can get the attention of the government through, you know, more, less destructive means. Does that make sense?
I agree, but in this case, I would say that it wasn't the cause. That they were doing peaceful protests for a little while, but things didn't really start changing, or at least to the point where the government was stepping in to start making reforms, until things escalated so much so that they had to have to step in, right?
Well,
so
I think that's a dangerous mentality. Like, just, you know, let's say you don't like an office policy, and you try to, you know, protest to your boss or whatever, that you want something changed, and then when they're falling on deaf ears, you decide, you know, right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start destroying the office until I get what I want. It's almost a tantrum kind of mentality.
Yeah, but at the same time, let's take it to, in my mind, let's say a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to help out the fastest? The person who's sitting there being, you know, being nice and polite, mm-hmm. or the person who's shouting and complaining?
I think, I see what you mean, but does that justify, one, does that justify the behavior on its own merits? And then two, I think you're just as likely to get bad results where you just get kicked out of the restaurant straight up instead of getting helped.
Awesome.
So I'm very much of the mentality of the means justify the end, I think is what, not because some people say the ends justify the means.
That's me.
I'm very much more so of the means do justify the end.
Tom,
so if you're getting an end that's favorable, but you're doing it in a bad way, then I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think your ends are just.
What if these reformers, let's say hypothetically, they tried it out. They tried peaceful protesting for a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say very minimal changes happened. Not much got done, right?
Right.
Now, what if the alternative was they did peaceful protesting for like 2 months? But then they did, like, 2 months of just, like, I guess more extreme protesting, you know, doing more stuff. But they were able to enact change.
Right.
They were able to enact change fast. Would you rather have change done faster, but in, I guess, a more tantrumy way, as you like to put it? Or would you rather have it take way longer and peaceful, like, twice as long, like a year longer?
Right.
But, you know, just not as much gets done.
So I think the question isn't, and what's important is, it's not... It's almost creating a false binary by saying there's either ineffective peaceful protesting or effective non-peaceful protesting. I think what you need to have is effective peaceful protesting. And I think that is very possible, that you can do effective protesting that's peaceful. And, you know, maybe their first go at it was just ineffective, right?
Well, let's take the example that Sean gave, that these are your only two options.
Right.
What would you do?
I would go with the peaceful option because, again, I think the way you do something is just as important as the end you achieve.
But Tom, it's not effective, and they're not getting justice for what happened. Change is not happening. At the same time, accidents are still occurring when they could have been prevented.
I'm assuming that these people who are vandalizing these cars are completely innocent in this. Do you think that that's justified for them? Now you've just created one, you know, there was an atrocity that happened, right? People got murdered. So do you think it's okay to destroy someone's property as a result? You know, I don't think so. I think committing a crime because a crime occurred is, you know, it's not justified.
Mm-hmm.
Especially against someone who's innocent. And it's a different thing if you, let's say, vandalize the car of the guy who caused the accident. You know,
but why is that justified now?
I'm not saying necessarily. I'm just saying it's different. You know, I don't want to say it's...
It shouldn't be, though.
Huh?
It should, why... us seeing the mentality and the way our government's set up. We trust that the government will take care of it.
Yeah.
And that they will go through the court's appeal and they will get a just punishment that
sure.
is decided
it's
by
the
a court.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are going to go out and start vandalizing his property, you would also be... that would be unjust. That is a crime.
Right.
So it shouldn't. That shouldn't be different.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was thinking more along the case of, let's say, like, someone murders my brother, and so I murder him. You know, that's a little different than if I go and murder his sister, right? I'm involving an innocent versus I'm attacking the person who... I think you should go through the court system, right? But let's just say that fails you. Then I think not going, attacking an innocent person who's completely unrelated, I would say, is worse and counterproductive than, addressing the
and
person. So,
I think for me, the way I stand by it is that when you are in these certain movements, you have to be able to reflect on your own actions. Understand that those people who are vandalizing these, public transportation or just any vehicles in general, that what you're doing is unjust, that you are committing a crime, and that you won't hide behind the fact that I am doing this for our movement. And that you should own up to the responsibility. And
right. So you're justified in your action. Or
no, you're
not.
You're
not justified in your action. You're taking responsibility for the fact that you're unjust.
But I understand at the same time that really this reform didn't kick off until extreme measures were starting happening, right?
Yeah.
And I don't believe that it would have came to this point without those people doing that.
I disagree.
If it did, much, much later on, after many... many either months or even years of protesting.
Right.
It's just because you already know the situation behind the government. They didn't care. And only until you forced their hand did they started making reform.
Well, again, I say that there's effective and there's ineffective. And I think you can still be within a justified form of protesting and be effective than having to resort to effective through unjust means. It might be easier, just because something's easier, right? It's easy just to break something and get someone's attention. Or you can take the better route. Is there a difference between, let's take the restaurant example, where you were talking about, when you're polite and you're trying to get the attention of the waiter. And then there's the, I stand up and I'm like, hey, I need to get service now. I've been waiting way too long. I need to talk to your manager. You can be effective and still not be that asshole who's just yelling and screaming. Right?
I can guarantee you right now, for most companies, whether it is restaurants and I think airlines is a good example of this,
mm-hmm.
is that if you are complaining, if you are throwing a fit,
mm-hmm.
you will get better service than the person who goes through it. 100%.
I think you are just as likely to get bad service as in getting yourself kicked out.
Possible.
And
but
making yourself look like the douchebag.
Well, you already look like the douchebag. They don't care about that.
Yeah.
What they care about is getting what they want. And I would say, unless they do something like extreme, as in they start throwing things at the server or whatnot, they're going to get much better service or much better attention from the management and also the server.
Squeaky wheel gets the oil, Tom, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like...
It's an interesting analogy, but I don't know. I think, again, does that justify the end?
No,
you know?
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Does that justify the end? I don't believe
so,
but
at
the same...
He gets what he wants.
He gets what he wants.
But
right.
I think the idea is that you have to be able to own up to, I guess, the knowledge that you are doing something wrong for what you're doing.
I don't like... there's like a movie about this. It's the Red Alert, I think is what it was called, where, the general does like this atrocity in order to win a war. Right, and he's like, "Yeah, I did it. I had to because the end justified the means." Like,
yeah,
so
we,
you know,
but we do that all the
I will,
time.
Yeah, and
you,
I'm saying it's not a good thing. I think we need to be better than that.
I don't think so because think of World War II. We dropped bombs on military, but also civilians. But, many civilians.
That was after numerous times asked them to surrender. After numerous times.
But does that justify the end?
We should have asked them longer.
We should have kept protesting. We should not have done.
Four more years. We should have just not dropped the bomb. We should have just kept warning them or not doing.
Yeah, we should not be going out our way when we know fully well that a large amount of population is civilians.
Well, war is different in the sense that, you know, civilian casualties is almost a certainty. You'll never not get civilian casualties. And an attempt to minimize, I think, is a good justification, right? They did attack a military base when they dropped those A-bombs. They were attacking a military compounds.
I think the first city was, but I don't think the second one was.
I'm not 100% sure, so I'll have to plead ignorance on that. But I get what you're saying, but in that, I don't think that's quite the case of committing an atrocity to justify an end. I think that there was numerous attempts. It was a last resort.
It wasn't a last resort. That's the thing.
No, at the cost of millions and millions of lives.
That's war. That was normal warfare. And I would say, like, if we were going to talk about war, dropping a bomb on, even if it's a military base or a military city, is still vastly populated by large amounts of civilians. That is an atrocity, and which we have to own up to.
Right.
And I understand saying, like, yes, those are atrocities. Those are unjust things that we did. But it sped us up to an end which we believe saved more people. But I will own up to it. I can't just say, like, no, we were justified in our actions to do this. Because we tried so many times, because we did this. Because otherwise, it comes back to the other example. We tried peaceful protests so many years, and it didn't work. So now we're going to something more extreme.
I don't think protesting and war can be compared quite so similarly.
To these people, it is. And I would say, depending on what the movement is, it can be.
Call it a civil war. It's not, right?
No. Civil war is to replace the president, to replace your government. This is, they are pushing through reform. This is not a civil war.
Well, essentially, they're trying to reform their government.
Yeah, they're trying to push through reform, but not trying to get rid of the government. That's a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
To replace the government is a civil war, and we can't call it that.
So because they're not trying to oust them.
They're not trying to oust them.
Yeah,
that's not a civil war.
Trying to coup them or whatever.
No.
You can't be called. So, I mean,
so where, that's the question, right? That where is the line drawn? And it depends.
That is the atomic bomb, is ousting the government. If you will not listen to the people, you are not fit to be the government, we need you out. I think that is the last resort, not vandalizing innocent people's cars. I think that is a...
Or public transportation cars, or the government vehicles, because they targeted police, they targeted buses.
But
they're also vandalizing people who didn't have licenses, who were driving vehicles.
Well, that's, okay. Again, that's not, they're, well, is there, was there technically a law that you needed a license?
No law needed.
Okay,
but
so
that's the thing that they're pushing through, and the large amount of accidents that were happening, you know, are
so let's say
due
if someone
to an inappropriate standard.
So let's say I had a movement which said that, you know, that they believe that you need to mow your lawn, or you shouldn't own pets, right? Let's say you're not allowed to own pets.
I think the hard part about this, and I know you haven't finished it yet, but the hard part about this is that now you are taking a movement that is very minimal.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to use the same framework, right? Is like, you know, let's say you're a movement that doesn't believe that people should own pets. And so you go around and you decide to vandalize the homes of pet owners. You're acting within the law, whether that law is good or bad.
But did this movement involve people dying? Which we know that the movement for reforming...
But I said vandalize. I didn't say kill. I said vandalize.
No. I'm talking about your people are dying.
Well, they can say that, you know, animals are dying under the owners of you know.
Animals, not human beings. And again, I would be the first to say that's a completely different topic. Mm-hmm. That's a different level. When human beings are starting to be killed, you're on a different level now.
Right.
And that's the thing. And your mindset said that war was fine because that's war. To these people, and depending on the movement, such if we move towards like the Middle East, where, you know, girls are getting thrown acid on or raped and killed, it can be viewed as a war where we are getting killed. People are getting killed. The people I know, my family, my friends. Mm-hmm. This is essentially a war in my mind. Why should it not be considered a war?
Yeah.
That's the question, right?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Then if it needs to escalate to that point, then you should target the government. You're not targeting innocent people. And you've clarified for me, for example, government vehicles, I kind of understand that vandalism. I think that is kind of on that level. I mean, vandalism's bad as a whole, but, you know, if you have to go to that extreme against the government, the person who's perpetrating the atrocity, I understand that. But, for example, the people who had licenses or didn't have licenses, they're within the law. They're innocent in the view of the government and the view of, you know, legally speaking, why should they be punished? Whether you believe in that or not, whether you believe they should have licenses or not.
I'm wondering whether or not the license thing is a law.
Yeah, if because it is,
the reason why is because I believe license might be a law, because otherwise why would they issue it?
Yeah. No, it's possible.
And
maybe
it's just that it jumps back to the whole,
like,
it wasn't being, yeah, it wasn't being enforced.
Yeah.
That might be there. So
yeah.
Would that change your idea then? If it is a law,
if it's
but
supposed
not
to be
being
enforced. Yeah. I mean, essentially, I would say you are breaking the law.
So you should be allowed to get your car vandalized?
I don't like the idea of saying allowed, but I would say it's more understandable, more
but
justified,
is it,
not fully
I guess
justified.
Here's the question. Is it just?
I don't know if it's just, but it's more justifiable. Does that make sense?
See, but
again,
now I see it as it's unjust.
Again,
it's,
to me, again, is maybe not justified, but understandable. How about that? Is that a better wording?
Understandable is good.
Okay.
Because when we're talking about justification, we want to talk about a legal side of it. We want to talk about legal.
Course,
we're talking about moral.
If you're that's what I was about to say. Is that no matter what, it's committing a crime is unjustified no matter what's the context. But there's more understandable and less under. Like, for example, if someone killed my wife and I killed him, I'm not justified in killing a person. But
you're more understandable.
More understandable
yeah.
that why I would kill him.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Think,
and then that's
think,
what I was kind of getting at. Versus, like, if I just killed some random guy on the street because my wife got killed, I'm not justified or I'm not understand. It's not understandable why I did that. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
So that's kind
so
of what I was trying to get at.
Now that we covered this, I kind of want to switch gears, and this is something that happened earlier this week as well. You know who Candace Owens is?
Yeah.
So you probably heard about this already.
Listen.
So I guess the background for Sean is Candace Owens is a conservative speaker. Well, I don't know.
I was just talking to him about
this
about an hour.
She's great. But no, she's wonderful. I listened. I like
she's
her.
She's okay, yeah.
Well, I definitely like her. I think that
she
has
some good ideas, but she's
yeah.
also sometimes I think she gets things wrong, but as a whole,
yeah.
I definitely like her.
No, I don't think I don't think she's perfect, but I do think that she is a good.
Is this the Sarah Jong thing? Just by the way,
I don't think so.
No, okay, go ahead.
You should also mention that.
Okay,
mention
so
that, yeah.
This is she is a good speaker. She's a good representative for conservative sides, and I believe that she. I think that she is garnering a lot more attention as we move forward, but. Regardless, and I know Tom's stance on this already, because we talked about something similar that happened in the past, was Candace Owens and her boss, or at least co-worker, for the conservative think tank that she works for, were having breakfast. When I guess she noticed that there were either Antifa or whatever the case may be, but a crowd of people started noticing that that's Candace Owens, that's this other dude.
Right.
Sorry, I apologize. I don't know this other dude.
Yeah,
he's probably some
other guy.
Yeah,
he's breakfast.
He's
yeah.
also no, he's actually a part of this conservative
yeah.
movement. He's also a very large, I guess, figure on the conservative side
yeah.
for this, at least for this foundation. But then what they did, and there's video of it, started yelling and screaming at them, blowing whistles, microphone blowing at
right.
them, just essentially interrupting the breakfast. What they did in turn was they called the cops, got the police involved. The police were trying to protect them, getting them out of their way. I believe
someone threw water at him,
but on overall, no one like threw punches or anything. No
yeah.
violent means where it happened, but there
right.
was a ton of yelling. We talked about this already, and I think it is absolutely stupid and disgusting of these people to do so.
Right.
I think it's incredibly inappropriate, and it hurts your cause.
Oh, yeah.
When you
yeah.
do these things, especially to people who are not doing anything at all, especially just living their day.
Yeah, it's a difference between whether you're in public, like you're in a public setting, and in your private life. So those two were just having breakfast, right? Now, let's say they were hosting a conservative thing at this thing. I would say it's okay to protest it. Maybe not inside where they're yelling and disrupting the thing,
mm-hmm.
but protesting outside. But if you're just, you know, getting gas at the gas station,
yeah, yeah.
you shouldn't, I don't think it's justified in getting up and yelling and, you know, trying to scream them out of the gas station. But please continue. Sorry,
so the reason why... No, it's fine. And that's the thing. And I think we're... I guess Sean's on the same board as well, that this type of behavior only really hurts your cause.
I'm on board.
Yeah, it's like when you... It gives them ammunition to say how far the left would go to do these things, to push their agenda, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even me... having my ideals and beliefs more leaning towards the left side, I think this type of behavior is, like I said, disgusting. So, if we take this into the concept of the same thing as Bangladesh,
right?
If these people consider themselves as trying to push for reform, push for movement, and push for change,
right?
Does it make their thing, their cause, their actions more understandable?
So basically what I was saying is I'm of the opinion that private life and public life are separate. So, for example, with these Bangladeshi people, the students, if they were just harassing the transportation guy at his home or something, or like in his private life, I don't think that's justified no matter what, personally. But if... let's say you have a public forum, you know, when he's at work, even, you know, when he's in his government position, I think it's okay to harass him, because I think that that is a form of harassing, is, you know, protesting, not in the sense of like getting in his face or like, you know, punching him or roughhousing him.
No violent movement.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the idea, is that if this guy did come out, I'm assuming that he was threatened, whether or not with his life or with just vocal opposition.
I think it's not a justified nor understandable, in my opinion, privately. Publicly, again, threatening is not a good thing. But, you know, protesting the hell out of that government, I would say, is very justified. You know, sitting in out front of their government house, you know, whatever the White House equivalent is there, and wanting that kind of reform, I'm all for it. You know, don't let them sleep in their office kind of thing. But when you're, you know, with your family... when you're at the gas station, when you're at dinner, I don't think that's the proper setting to protest the person.
I guess in my case would be like, would you believe if you were to follow? No, I wouldn't say follow that guy around, but if he was in a public setting,
mm-hmm.
or sorry,
he's private. He's in a private life.
His private life, and people started yelling at him. Would that not cause him to start acting differently? Like, does it not push him to be like, "What? I need to reform. I need to get this changed. I don't want these guys following me." It kind of puts a spark on him, right?
Right.
He needs to go faster. He needs to do change.
But again, it's a dangerous slope when you start justifying that kind of mentality, because then you can justify any sort of heckling, right? I can just follow, I don't know, Hillary Clinton around with a giant horn in her face and yelling at her. It's not a decent way of living. And remember, you're never the victim in your own mind, right? You're always the victim in your own mind, rather. You're never perpetrating something. So, you know, these people, those liberals who, or leftists, rather, the ones, yeah.
Don't
leftists.
Worry, I know you mean, you hate all liberals.
No, I don't.
You group them all the
no,
same.
No, no, no. I do my best, I sometimes slip, but I do make a distinction between left people who are disgusting and liberals who are perfectly fine. Anyways, these leftists, in their mind, they're in a life or death situation. That's why they have to heckle the crap out of Candace Owens and guy number two or number one, whatever. So they're, you know, they think they're justified in their own mind. The point is, you have to look at it. You have to look at a consistent standard that can be applied across the board. And my opinion is, you know, when you're in a private setting, you should be left alone.
We would it not cause your movement to move forward?
Yes, but again, but then we're going back to the. But then again, it comes back to the ends justifying the means. I don't think so. In the same way,
even if they're not being violent. Even if, because these people have every right to actually do it. They are allowed to yell at Candace Owens for any reason they want. They're actually allowed to do it. As long as they don't violently attack her, they're free to do so.
Yeah,
and that's
but
why
is
the
it
police
good?
Didn't
is it good? Is it effective? In
if,
one way, it is. But again, it makes, to me, when I see a protest, I think it's important how the protesting is done, right? I don't like... I don't like the mentality of, well, I got what I wanted, so whatever I did is okay. I don't like that mentality. I think that creates a dangerous precedent for other people to do the same thing. Well, I, like, for example, what was it? This could be an interesting topic. Is there was this guy back in during the Civil War era. I think he was like in the 1840s or something, or 1850s.
Understandable in the Civil War era.
Yeah. And he was very anti-slavery. And what he did is he and a couple of his sons, they went out and just started shooting a bunch of slave owners. They went on like a spree, and I'm for 100% of his belief, right, of shooting a slave owner, but was his means justifying the end of ending slavery essentially? To me, it's a little bit more of an ambiguous question because, for example, when something as stringent as slavery, when you're shackling a human life, then taking more violent measures might be even justified, I'd say, in a certain way.
So why would this guy's action?
But let's just say, let's take out the fact that it was slavery and substitute
something
else.
That's a key part of this.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
You're doing the same thing what you did earlier. Let's take out the most important part of it and replace it with something that is very minimal.
Well, I'm trying to put it in towards because the transportation thing. Would you say that is on the same level, like the whole accidents happening? And
I wouldn't say
dying.
It's the same level of slavery, but in their eyes, friends and families are getting killed
frequently due to
these policies in place and the standards set in place.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my eyes, if my dad, my family got killed, I'm essentially at war now. Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of, and I know this is tangent-ish, but that's kind of how the Middle East is involved. If we fuck up and we bomb and kill civilians, it's not too surprising that a lot of those civilians are now going to turn against us.
Right.
And their eyes, it's war.
Yeah.
And you took in everything away from me. I'm going to do whatever I can to take everything I can away from you. I'm going to do whatever I can to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, yeah. I mean, yeah. Seeking, I know, it's, I understand
yeah,
the sentiment of...
Sean, go
yeah.
ahead.
Well, every time you bring up the ends justify the means, or that they don't, I'm always curious. Like, what if these people?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to like the Candace Owens thing, because I feel like it's not as serious.
Mm-hmm.
What if these people that are protesting her at her breakfast with her guy?
Mm-hmm.
What if for them they're going on like an efficiency measure where it's not their last resort, but it's their it's getting close to their last resort. What if they feel like they need to do this because peaceful protesting wouldn't be as effective?
So, and then I think that's a failure of proportionality. I think that they are thinking it's DEFCON 1 when it's not really a DEFCON 1 situation, specifically with the Candace Owens thing.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying this Bangladesh thing is really difficult because it is...
They
more
like
dangerous
they
because
like
because there
resort.
Are people dying as
right.
a result of
these
battles,
what if these
which is why
feel like it's their last resort. Huh?
We could look at it and say that Candace Owens isn't the reason why these things are in place.
Right.
Whatever it is that they believe in that justifies their actions while yelling and screaming in our face,
right.
Whatever the reason is.
Right.
I don't believe Candace Owens is the reason behind it, and I guess the pusher for those policies. So I don't think that they're. Actions are being targeted towards the right person. But in their minds, if they believe it is, then does that mean that they're wrong or right?
I think subjectivity in this matter, I don't like the idea of subjectivity in this matter particularly, because I think you can kind of you can objectively kind of tier the criticality. Again, like if you're having a policy where
kids are getting removed from their parents. Healthcare that people are dying for.
Well, do you have the right for the health?
That's not the case, right? In their eyes, they're seeing that people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
That it could be that my dad died or my friend lost his parents. Because they were causing war. Wherever the case may be.
They're putting the wrong blame. Then I would say that, again.
Yes, no, I believe that they are putting the wrong blame. But in their eyes, they're viewing it is as DEFCON 1. And they haven't reached to the point where they're violent yet, which is good. And I don't want them to reach to that point at all.
Right.
But
why wouldn't you be okay with it if you say that it's okay that if it's in their eyes it's DEFCON 1, it can justify violence,
no,
right?
I don't never say justify. I said that your actions, if you do...
It's understandable that, towards the violence.
Is understandable, yeah.
Is
but
it?
In this case, I don't believe it is as understandable because the other one is, right? If we're talking about Bangladesh, I would say those
because
violent...
Because we have an objective standard. Right.
What no,
we're
no,
saying,
I'm,
we're,
doing, I'm aiming at it from a subjective side. And I mean, I will own up to this. That from my point of view, my opinion is that those people who were vandalizing government and non-government vehicles
right.
were more understandable. Yes,
but
because I know that what they are doing is targeting towards what their goals are. I do not believe yelling and screaming at somebody, whether it is conservative or not, whether it is liberal. And in their own private life, just eating dinner, you're not moving the needle. You're not helping your cause in any sort of way. And
right.
that's why I believe that they are not just are they unjustified, but they are also not understandable.
Yeah. But again, we have to put some kind of general standard, right? Because again, the person over, the leftist who thinks it's DEFCON 1, he says, well, in my mind, it is understandable why I'm doing this, so it's okay that I'm doing
no,
this.
No, we put the standard that we have the freedom of speech, and they're allowed
right.
to do so. And that no one was arrested because no one was a violent person. The person who threw that water, I hope he was either grabbed or arrested, but apart from that, you have that freedom to do so.
Right,
that is
right,
our
but
objective standard.
Right, well, yes, but also, then we need to have a social standard where everyone looks at that and says, was that okay what they were doing? Was this necessary? Was this
social
understandard?
A social standard, I believe, is subjective depending who it is, right?
I see, and
that's
I think
what
that's,
social
that's,
stuff is.
That's dangerous for a nation when you start saying that everyone can put their own social standard on higher up things.
But doesn't mean that they're right. Just everyone is entitled to their own opinions and beliefs, whether it's good or bad.
Right.
You are allowed to believe so. Unless
Absolutely.
If you break the laws, then you are gone. You
right.
are going to jail.
Right.
But you are allowed to believe so.
I'm not talking about a government-enforced social standard. I'm talking about a general sentiment that all Americans should feel about certain things.
Tom, I don't think
right?
it's, I don't think it's, you could say all Americans because I think
well,
a social standard is like it's very representative of the culture that's there, right? And you can't blanket it with like all of them. Like if you say it's dangerous if all of America believes in this, I'm gonna take something like a really really small example, right? But it's like in New York, you know, people are always busy, right? And the social thing there is like, if you're busy and you gotta move, you just walk past someone, you maybe brush shoulders with them, and you're generally seen as rude, correct?
Right.
But the people got places to be, and the general sentiment in New York is like, they got places to be, they're gonna walk, they're gonna run fast, they're gonna bump into you, you know, they're gonna do stuff. But if that happened, maybe like, over here in the West Coast, and if like someone did that, like, hey, why would you bump into me like that? Mm-hmm. It's like, why are you being so rude, you know? And that's the social standard that's set in New York. That's different from here. And I don't think you could blanket it all. Like, it's a dangerous precedent if all America is like this.
Well,
and
no,
I think I think that there's certain things that we can't agree on, right?
Right.
There's certain things such as, you know...
killing is bad.
Killing
right.
is
that
bad,
is,
but
that's
the thing
standard that
I don't
everyone...
want to choose killing because killing is also put into as a government objective standard, right? That is a law.
Well, yeah, but that's a law that we, the people as a whole, generally created, right?
Yeah.
The government is...
It went
know.
To the point where a law. This is not. This is not going to go to the point where it's a law.
Right.
This is going to have to be something.
But just because something's not
This is going to have to be some point of sentiment and belief. It's not going to be a law ever put in place where you can't yell at certain people
yes.
in public setting. That's not going to happen.
Right.
Because we want to have the freedom of speech.
Absolutely.
That's gonna overtake the other stuff. So we have to talk about something like Sean did, where it will never become a law where you can't bump into someone.
Right.
Or move past someone, right?
Right.
Now, is there something that is universally accepted? True. Some exist. But I think that there are some that just going to have a gray zone where certain people believe it's right, other people believe it's wrong, and there's never going to be that one point where everybody decides. Right.
So, but as a whole, I would almost say that if you had to pick between the two sentiments, would you pick the one where it's okay to bump into people as long as you have somewhere to be versus that you should not bump into people because that's rude? I would say that the general public sentiment as a whole would have been towards not bumping into people because it's rude.
It depends on where you are.
But
it 100%
it depends on the social
context. If you go to New York, that's fine. If you go to Detroit, that's fine. Chicago, that's fine. LA, that's even fine. Now,
is that good?
Is that good? I don't believe so.
Do you believe
there's
a standard that should be... And I'm not pushed, again, not through government, but just as a whole, as human beings. Do you think that is a standard that... just thinking about it. Not whether, you know, some person thinks about it this way or thinks about it the other way. Just thinking about it, try objectively
right,
as possible.
I think it's within a societal and cultural bubble. Like, if it's fine if, like, again, it's fine if it's in New York. It's not fine if it's somewhere else because it's...
Why is it fine because it's in New York? What's the basis?
Because that's a general culture. That's
no,
society.
Don't talk about general culture. Talk about it abstractly. Why is it okay to bump into another person if I have places to
Because they're in the way and they're not moving.
Yeah.
They should get out of my way. They should get out of all of us.
You're not entitled to this.
If this one person stops in the middle of the street and blocks everybody themselves, why is that guy entitled to stop everybody else?
No, then because the general sentiment is, yeah, you're not allowed to block the street, right? But if I'm walking sane...
But he's blocking people behind me, too. It's not just me. I'm just happening to be the first one, the closest one to him.
Right, well,
but
no,
he's
but
blocking
we're talking
people
about, we're talking about people who are just walking, right, and then you bump into them. Right? Or are we talking about a person who's just standing?
Standing on a sidewalk.
Then I think most people generally say...
Bump into him? I don't think so. I think it depends on where you live, depends on you grow, and your cultural norms. For a great example...
Again, cultural norms, because the culture norm in Saudi Arabia is it's
completely
okay to...
different. And I would say, and I look at it and I say, no, that's wrong.
Yeah.
And
Think it's okay? But then what you're telling me is that, well, in their cultural bubble, it's okay. So
in
it's fine that that's happening.
No, it's not that it's fine that it's happening.
So we should push for it to change then.
I should push for it to change, through, in my mind, in Saudi Arabia, through government means. But I will have to say that I have to understand that their mindset is that they believe is okay.
Yeah.
And I don't even, I could furiously disagree with them and say, no, that is not okay, that is wrong, for all these reasons. But they will still believe something, and I don't believe on topics such as this, right? Small, non-life-threatening, non-slavery things, small things, that no one's right, right? Is it okay for me to eat with chopsticks opposed to a fork and spoon?
That one's even less, yeah.
Right? Yeah,
that's
super
low,
that doesn't matter at all. Some people say, no, you have to eat with chopsticks. You're eating an Asian dish, right? You are disrespecting tradition, all this stupid-ass shit.
No, I understand the idea that not every single thing needs to have, like, a social standard.
You make it sound like it does.
No, you sound like it is, though.
No, so then, let me clarify. I think there's hills to die on, and I think there's hills not to die on, right? So I think there are certain social standards that are not enforced through government means, but that should nonetheless be enforced culturally, just, you know, quote unquote, with just like social pressures and whatnot. And then there's obviously things where it doesn't really matter one way or the other, that there's no impact. And then those are hills that I don't think are dying. And I will admit it is a gray zone, and that's something I just talk about on a base by base basis, whether sometimes where I say, like, I think it should be this way, it doesn't mean I want, you know, the government to make it this way, but that I think that it's better if the culture backs that kind of mentality. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but that's because you agree with that certain mentality. If it is talking about things that are insignificant, such as, I believe, like, bumping into another person, or, you know, if someone's stalling in front of you on a sidewalk that you have to push through, you know, those are things that are insignificant.
I think bumping's a little bit bigger, though, because then at that point you are doing physical contact. Right.
If you lived in a city, you're going to have physical contact in every subway.
Well, physical contact, when you're bumping into someone, you're kind of aggressing them, right?
Don't get technical
in a way.
But I feel like what you're saying is that your views is, as you say, as objective as possible. I feel like you would want that. Like, if for some reason everyone followed the way that you followed and thought that the way that you thought, then you thought that the world would be an objectively better place, right, Tom?
I mean, I don't claim to be God, but
I
have a certain viewpoint of the world that,
everyone just had this general sentiment, then man...
No, there's not everything. I don't want clones of me, right? But I think that there are certain things that, like, I would pick out 15 things that I think would be good if everyone had the same mentality behind it. And I try to justify it through an objective mean, not just because I like it. Like, I like that this is this way. You know what I mean? I try to justify it through an objective. Yeah, of course I like it. Because, you know, I think the objective reasoning that I have is good, right? Does that make sense? So of course I'm gonna like that. So then I tried to say, I think it's, you know, if you look at it this way, I would think that the majority of people should follow this way.
While we wrap this up, this is all of us. Mm-hmm. Would you believe the world would be a better place if everyone was just a clone of yourself?
No.
No, God, no.
100% no.
No.
Yeah,
no,
okay,
no,
never mind.
No. Yeah, no.
Because part
no,
of me thinks
no.
that you, it kind of does sound like what Sean said. You'd kind of do. If people view the world the same way I do, the world would be a better place.
So, again, what I believe in, you know, is that the reason why America became great was that it had a certain fundamental cultural norms of, you know, hard work, you know, slavery. There was plenty. There was at least half the people were against slavery from the start. You know what I mean?
I don't think so.
Yes,
a lot of people.
You know what the 3/5 compromise was?
3/5 compromise that a slave is worth 3/5 of a
yeah,
man.
Do you know why that was made?
I don't care, but I think the idea
the
is that
point
it,
is
for
that
us,
half, let me give you the quick condensed 20 word version. There was half the people wanted slaves not to vote at all or count as a vote at all. Stop counting. And the other half wanted them to count as a population for the state, so that they would have more representatives. So the anti-slavery people from the very beginning were trying to make sure that blacks didn't help more slave owners have seats in government. And the slave owners wanted them to count as one vote so that they could get more representatives.
But it's not
because... So they
but it's
made
not
three-fifths
because,
of a compromise.
Yeah, but isn't, can you not say that it's not because... They weren't fueled by justice for their slaves. They were fueled by, I want to have better representation in the government, and I want to push for my agenda.
No, they want to have better
just
representation
because
so they could get rid of slavery.
The slave owners wanted more just representation so they could get rid of slavery.
Yes, and the other people were trying to make sure that they weren't.
Why would they push
vote.
For. Why? Can you not see that? Why would they push for representation by using your own slaves
yeah.
as counting numbers?
That's why they.
And
that's
then,
why. They,
that, and as soon as you get that representation, go through and be like, hey, slaves don't. You know, we want to get rid of slavery. Why do you believe that
no.
they want to get rid of slavery?
No, what I am saying, you're misunderstood me, is what I'm saying is that the people, the slave owners, wanted them to count as a one person, as a full human being, while the anti-slave people didn't want slaves to count at all, so there would be less representation of the slave owners in government so that
yes.
they could eventually get rid of slavery.
So, yeah, so the person who's pushing through saying, like, I want to count you as a life. I want to count you as a life because I want more representation in our
yeah.
government and I want to push through agendas of mine, but I still want you to be my slave. Don't
yeah.
worry about it. I still want to make sure that you're my slave.
Yeah.
Can you not see that that is also a bad thing? They wanted to push for
I am saying it's a bad thing. That's why the 3/5 compromise happened, was the anti-slavery people pushed to make them less of a count
yes.
in
Yeah, no. It,
in
it is also. But can you not see that that is also a... something that we have to compromise right now so that we could get rid of slavery in the end.
Yeah, but what you sounded like was as if the slave owners wanted to make sure that the blacks didn't count as a full person.
No,
that's not
that's
what
not,
it was at all.
Yeah, but they're definitely fine with them being slaves.
Yes,
they wanted
of course.
Them being slaves.
Absolutely. But what I said...
It's a selfish agenda because they were trying not... They're trying to give these people representation, not because they were trying to free them, but so that they can maintain the hold that they have on them.
That's right. And
so
the original question
so
was...
So is that not bad?
Yes, absolutely. So what I was trying to say was that there were bad people who wanted slavery and bad people who didn't want slavery. Or there was good people who didn't want slavery. And you said, nah, I don't think so. And I said, absolutely, since the beginning... Haven't you heard of the 3/5 compromise? My point is...
When did the 3/5 compromise come through?
It was when the Constitution was made.
3/5 compromise?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, it was when the Constitution... It's literally in the first article of the Constitution. It talks about how representation...
Freedom of speech.
No, that's... No. Nah. Anyways,
but
that's when they were talking about representation, how they count representation. They talked about the 3/5 compromise.
But can you not see that just because... Okay, so... Regardless of what the sentiment was back then, a lot of America, the reason why we became economically prosperous during that time period, was due to slavery. Can
no.
you say that?
No. Rural
like,
the South
can you not
was
say
way
that...
less pro- way the South was way less prosperous than the industrial North, which didn't have slaves. So
yes, the industrial North during Civil War, but the very beginning. from the start, at the very beginning.
There's again from 1776, the country was essentially already divided among the industrial north, which essentially didn't have slaves from the beginning. From 1776.
So you're saying that the industrial north, at the very beginning, without slaves, were more prosperous than the people who had slaves?
Yes, 100%. The rural south was not as prosperous. It was prosperous, don't get me wrong, but it was not as prosperous as the
industrial
north.
Can you not
north.
Say that America, a good part of it, was the money and the economy that they generated was due to the south?
Yes, of course it was. But
so can that not be seen as a very strong position of helping America becoming what it was?
Well, no, because there was half of the country from the beginning when it was first being created.
We didn't understand that part.
Yeah,
but
was against slavery from the beginning.
We get that.
Yes. And the only reason why slavery was allowed during the beginning years was because a divided America against England was way more risky.
Wait, you're not getting
it
to...
You're
avoiding the topic.
But my point was... Okay, so let's crank it back. The point is that there's certain fundamental values that America...
Well, you're dodging the question!
did the southern plantation slave owners...
Yes.
Did they
contribute to the beginning of America's
prosperity.
And let's say in a significant amount of way where it made a difference.
Of course, because it was half the country, right?
Yes.
There we go.
So that is what my question to you was, and you were dancing around it all.
But I'm still trying. You're as if you were saying that because they prospered due to slavery, that all of America was at fault.
No.
And my argument was that no, I think that
you did not say that though.
Yeah. Well, okay, then that's fine. My point is that there was slavery was not a core American tenet. It was a tenet in the South. It was a tenet among Democrats.
He had to throw that in there.
It is true, though. That's the
Northern Democrats also were very much for slavery. But,
is true, but at the same time...
It was much more of a Southern thing.
Get to your
thing.
Point.
Yeah. my point is that when you threw in slavery as a core American tenet, I decided
to
fight
it's not
that.
A core American tenet.
Good.
What I'm saying... Yes, good.
Okay.
And I'm saying is, and what I kept asking you was, did America start... with slavery, and slavery was a big part of why America seceded, or at least established itself.
I think America would have just succeeded just as well without slaves. I think so. I think it would have done just as fine without slaves. It did. It was better after slavery.
Yeah, but after the world gave up slavery, and this is a period where no one was using slavery.
Yeah.
But regardless,
yeah,
let's finish up this podcast. We're about done.
Oh. Yeah.
So
that was a doozy.
That was a doozy. That's like... probably the first podcast where we got heated, you know?
I don't know.
Usually
we were heated?
Well, you know, we got in more of our snippy back and forths.
Your little victim mentality.
Yeah, sure.
Bye, guys.
All right.
Call it,
see you later,
guys.
Ones. Appreciate it.